Happy Sunday morning. Well, I'm glad three or four of you are happy. That's a start. We'll work on that. Oh, me. Well, today, there's a message on my heart I've entitled, The Strength of Your Life. Now, I got an alpha male up there, all beefed and buffed out, you know, got the pythons, big guns, and I found out in working out that I can build out my midsection most quickly. Chocolate ice cream tends to do that. But I'm using that. This doesn't let any of you ladies off the hook today because the graphics all have to do with this same guy. But I'm going to use the designations of Scripture do that we find in 1 Corinthians chapters 2 and 3. A few months ago, we were in Psalm 27 for a memory verse. It says, The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So there's a declaration that the Lord is the strength of our life. Amen? And then I thought about Jesus in teaching his disciples. And of course, Jesus is the master teacher. And he told them in John chapter 15, verse 5, he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. And then he says, for without me you can do nothing. So Jesus taught us that you really can't be fruitful and have a fulfilled life without being in relationship with him, with the Lord Jesus. Well, I don't know about that, preacher. You know, I believe people can live a fulfilled life without all that Christian stuff. Well, you're free to disagree, of course, but I do believe that one second after you breathe your last breath, you'll realize that that's exactly the truth. He's not only your strength. By him, all things are held together. All things consist together through the Lord Jesus. All things were made by him and for him. And he was in the beginning with the Father. Your relationship to Jesus Christ really determines how strong or how weak your life really is. Now, being buffed up physically, I'm not against that. Just haven't been able to attain it yet. But the truth is, if you could see through the lens of the Holy Spirit how people really were, a lot of times it's a little 90-pound grandmama who's a widow that's learned how to get in her prayer closet and shake things loose from heaven down into the realm of earth through her prayers. She's the one who's buffed out with spiritual muscles. You see, man looks on outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and 3, Paul is having to deal with a young church in Corinth. He founded it, established. He carried the gospel into Corinth. But then he wrote letters to them. We have two of those letters in the Bible, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. There was also a third letter that he mentions in his letters we do have. We don't know what happened to them. But in these letters, he's writing and they've sent him some questions about stuff going on in the church. Well, he's the one with the apostolic mantle that had planted those churches. They looked at him like their spiritual father. And so he's writing back, speaking into their life, trying to align things. And when we get into chapter 2, he starts introducing us to some terms. He talks about a natural man. He talks about people who are carnal man. And he talks about the spiritual man. Those three. And so the question that each of us need to ask this morning by the time we round third and slide in home is, which of those three is me? A natural man, a carnal man, a spiritual man. A natural woman, a carnal woman, or a spiritual woman. And so I want to first read the scriptures. As always, I want what I'm sharing with you, I want you to be able to see where that is in the Word. So let's read the Word. Well, I'm going to begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll pick up kind of in the middle of Paul's discourse here, verse 12. He says, "Now we have received," talking about believers, "not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God." Pause a moment. Two spirits are mentioned here. The spirit of the world or the spirit of the age. It's real. People are made drunken by it out there. Become very worldly. All their price tags are determined by the world. What's important to them is been fed them, and they've been mentored by the world, the system of the world. They're under the sway, the influence of the system of the world in which we live. Then he says, but we are the Spirit who is from God. That's the Holy Spirit. So you have people who are being influenced by the spirit of the world, the spirit of the age, are people who are under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God, okay? Then he goes on to say, why? Why have we been given the Spirit who is from God? That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Hey, Mark and Robin. I've just now seen you guys. Welcome home. My eyes were opened. So good to have you back from Guatemala. Where was I at, Mark? Okay. This scripture is telling us that without the Holy Spirit, there are things that God has freely given us. We already have them. We have access to them. Benefits, blessings, giftings, anointings, and so forth. Long list. All these things that we won't be able to apprehend, comprehend, or walk in them without the help of the Holy Spirit revealing those to us, teaching us. The Holy Spirit's really important. He's not to be relegated to the back room somewhere in the church. He is to be allowed, and by the way, he doesn't need our permission to do what he wants to do, but we need to have a heart that's open for him to move up and down the aisles, move up and down the rows, and minister to our hearts. Thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because this scripture tells us he lets us know the things that God has freely given us. And then it goes on. Watch this. These things, that is, those things that God has freely given us, we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. So the Holy Spirit is a teacher. Say this, the Holy Spirit is my teacher. You've heard me many times in our services say, Holy Spirit, be our teacher today. Why? That's what the Word says. The Holy Spirit will teach us. The Bible says a lot of things about His teaching. He'll show us things to come. He'll bring things to our remembrance. He'll open up the Word to us. So many things, but He teaches us the things that have been freely given us by the Lord. If I were the enemy, I would want to make people very suspicious and very afraid and very skeptical about the Holy Spirit. Selah. Think on that. But the Scripture invites us to, like, the Holy Spirit, He's amazing. He shows us things. He teaches us the things that God has freely given us. So why would we not welcome that? And he tells us the way he does it. He says, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So sometimes we're scratching our heads because we can't, you know, like, what's this mean? But the Holy Spirit, when he's moving, he can illuminate our minds and give us spiritual understandings, so we can see and understand what the Scripture is saying, so that we can adjust our lives to it and be transformed more into the image of Jesus. It's amazing how that works. And you can't get that through mere intellect. I don't care how many degrees you've got hanging on the wall, and My wife and I together have got enough to make a wall lean. But I'm telling you, after 15 years in the ministry with all those degrees, the Lord blew my circuits when I realized how powerful and amazing the Holy Spirit really is, and how we have access to these gifts and to revelation, and God still speaks and God does miracles, and this Christian life is not rote memory of intellectual accumulation of facts that we remember and obey, but it is fluid and dynamic in the moment, Holy Spirit guiding, leading, showing, convicting, correcting, directing. It's amazing. But, verse 14, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. So when the natural man, this is saying the natural man is resistant to the things of the Spirit of God. Not only that, incompetent, impotent, and incapable of processing spiritual truth. Maybe a certain level of intellectual understanding, but it's the Holy Spirit that makes it real. He makes it incarnate in our life so it becomes part of the fabric of who we are, clean to the bone and beyond. He says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. We have to have spiritual discernment to properly understand Scripture. That's the reason you can have a bunch of liberal / atheistic theologians that will take scissors and cut God's power all out of the Word. They have no framework to understand the mystical, the powerful, the supernatural, how the invisible realm can birth things into the visible realm, how the heavenly realm can release things into the earthly realm. That just doesn't fit in their intellectual box that they build and made them a nice comfortable bed in the middle of it. It's the Holy Ghost that makes the Word real and alive to the human heart. The natural man, it says these things are foolishness to them, because they are spiritually discerned. Isn't that something? Can look at the treasures of God's truth and say, that's a bunch of crock. That's a bunch of foolishness. And many of them are out there. Love them and pray for them. Verse 15, Paul continues, but he who is spiritual, this is the one who's being taught by the Spirit of God, that's learning all the things that are freely given to him or her, he or she are walking in the Word. They're filled with Spirit. They're getting it. He's spiritual. He judges all things. Why? Because he can be discerning. Yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? I can't tell you the last time the Lord called me and asked for me to give him some counsel. Doesn't work that way. I know, you can keep sitting by the phone waiting for it to ring. It's not going to ring. But we have the mind of Christ. We have access to the one who does know the things of God, because he is the Spirit of God. He authored the Scriptures. We get to chapter 3 after chapter 2 ends. Paul says, and I, brethren, who's he talking to? Brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are not able. So he talks about the person who's spiritual, the Spirit of God. Now he's introducing us to believers. He says, I'm having to deal with you like carnal people. He's talked about a natural man. He's talked about spiritual man, now carnal man. But notice they're saved. They're like babes in Christ. They're not mature. And he goes on, we're going to continue to read. He says, for you are still carnal. Notice, still carnal. Still carnal. In other words, you haven't crucified all your flesh yet. You're not maturing in Christ. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? That is men who don't have the Spirit. Unsaved folks. I'm having to deal with you like carnal people. And notice, now we don't have any trouble seeing carnal like sexual immorality, stealing stuff, killing people. I mean, we got the real heavy-duty list. We all agree. But notice what he says, the reason they're carnal. Envy, strife, and divisions. All this stuff is like wrong attitudes toward other people. Creating division, creating strife. For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? And if you read the verses that surround this, in the church at Corinth, some, they were bragging. Well, I was baptized by old Apollos, that master teacher. Well, I was baptized by Peter. You know, he walked on water. And Paul said, I'm glad I didn't even baptize any of you, just a few of you. Other than that, I'm glad I didn't even baptize, because y'all are bragging about like you think you're better than someone else because of who baptized you. Then he goes on, he says, I'm just a builder. I'm going to pick up at verse 10. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Paul said, I came to you and I preached Jesus. And now other people are coming, and now you're creating divisions because of men. Men. No! It's about Jesus. That's our foundation. So, let me share some things with you out of these scriptures, just from practically speaking, because we're going to talk about three men, a natural man, a carnal man, and a spiritual man. All right? You ready? First thing, the natural unsaved man. When Paul talks about that the natural man cannot receive things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. This is talking about a person that doesn't have the Holy Spirit. If any man have not the Holy Spirit, he's none of his. Romans 8:9 tells us that. The Holy Spirit, the evidence of the Holy Spirit in a person's life is evidence of their salvation. And a natural man doesn't get it. Why? Doesn't understand spiritual things because the Holy Spirit does not live within him. And notice the diagram. Now, Bill Bright years ago in his Four Spiritual Laws had this similar diagram. I couldn't find one that I could rip off the web, so I just kind of made one right quick. But here's the idea. That circle represents your life. And a person who's not saved, this is their life. You see that S sitting on that chair? Well, that chair is a throne. Self is in charge. Self is enthroned. You make your own decisions. You do your own thing. You live your own life. You're not governed by anyone else. And you're sure not in submission to some God that might be out there. That's kind of the attitude of a lost, unsaved person. And notice where Christ is, represented by the cross, outside that person's life. Right? Now, in worldly terms, our guy that we've got buffed out, this is what it might look like. And again, This is the unsaved man of the world. I mean, he's dressed out, decked out, got the nice car, got the trendy friends. Now, please don't misunderstand me. You can have all that and be on fire for Jesus Christ. So don't draw too much conclusions. I'm just trying to speak in broad terms here. But this is a lot of worldliness. And the unsaved man, he's under the influence of the spirit of the world. The Spirit of God does not dwell in him. And the person you work with that don't get the church thing, the people you go to school with that aren't into the Jesus thing, and all, it's because they don't know Jesus. They don't have the Spirit. So they're acting like unsaved people because they are unsaved people. And we are to try to reach them for Christ. So this is the unsaved man of the world are the natural man, just a mere man. Spirit of God's not in him. Now, the first man God made, he filled him with his Spirit, and Adam could see God, talk to God, fellowship with God, work for God, but when he fell into sin, the curse came, he was separated from God, and the Holy Spirit left him. And he became spiritually dead in the sense that God's Spirit was no longer in him. But when Jesus came as the last Adam, died on the cross for our sins, was deposited in the earth, then raised from the dead by the power of God, the same Spirit that now dwells in us, raised him from the dead. And then he ascended to the Father, and then the Father poured Christ's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, out on those that would believe in Jesus. And so now we the last Adam has restored for us the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's a good thing. But saved, the unsaved man only find this out when we who are saved witness, make sure Bibles are made available, gospel tracts, and so forth. Now, the second man, I'm calling the saved carnal man. Now, an unsaved man is a carnal man too, right? Just living for the world, living by the flesh. You know, Paul said, hey, if there's no resurrection, we might as well all eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's it. But the resurrection of Christ is proof positive that this world is not all there is. There is a God in heaven, and he's reaching out in love to redeem us. And if we reject him, we will stand before him and give an account of having rejected Jesus Christ. So, but the saved carnal man is who Paul is addressing in 1 Corinthians chapters 2 and 3. You're babes in Christ. I'd like to address you as if you were spiritual people, but you are carnal as a baby in Christ. I've given you milk, and you still can't handle solid food. He's really rebuking them. You ought to have matured some, but you're not. You're creating divisions and envying one another and all this stuff. And by the way, if you read on through the rest of 1 Corinthians, you'll find some other stuff to add to the list. But the carnal man, notice the diagram there. Self is still on the throne, but where's Christ? In the life. The person's saved, but they haven't yet fully learned to walk in this Spirit-led life where Jesus is in charge of every area of a person's life. When you confess him as Lord, that means he's now the boss of you. But there's a period of growing and learning to walk in this. And by the way, all those little dots there, that's just all the other stuff that's going on in your life, some little stuff, some big stuff, and all of it. You know, but you're deciding what to do with it. You're trying to find balance in your life. And Jesus is there. Oh, there's so much he's done for you that's freely given to you, but you don't know about it. Why? You're not allowing the Holy Spirit through Christ to be enthroned in your life so that you are following him and you're getting your orders from headquarters. And usually our problems are rooted in those, what we would call, unsanctified areas of our life. Now, in this room this morning, preacher included, those that are saved, that are believers, we're going to be either this carnal, saved carnal man, or the one we're going to introduce in a few moments, the spiritual man, the Spirit-empowered, Spirit-led, on fire for Jesus person. That's who we all want to be. But here's the problem with a carnal believer, a saved carnal person. Here's the problem. When you have those times when you kind of do this to the Lord, and you sit on the throne and leave him out of your decisions, or you're having a struggle and you're not overcoming because you're not allowing Jesus to help you, what happens is that the world, when you're in one of those moments when self's in charge, when the world looks at you, who do they see? They don't really see a Christian. They see someone like them. And so when you try to witness to them, they're thinking, what are you trying to peddle off on me? I mean, you're just like me. I don't see any difference in your life than my life, other than you claim to have this something that makes you different, but I don't see it. So it hinders our influence in the world. The world governed by the spirit of the world. But when a believer's governed by the spirit of the world through selfishness, and Jesus is not ruling and reigning as Lord, the world doesn't see the difference. And what's really a problem is when today's church decides, well, you know what? I think people would enjoy church more if we just leave certain things out that's in the Bible. And the compromise is this. Let's not challenge them on the way that they're living so that they can come and feel comfortable. Now, do I want you to enjoy the messages I preach? I do. But I also realized this morning, I think the vast majority of you, if not all of you, you didn't drop by because you wanted some session in pop psychology. I don't think you showed up here today because you wanted some type of self-help guru to give you the easy way forward to the easy life. See, I believe that you are here this morning because you're interested in knowing what the book says. How to have the Holy Spirit leading and governing your life so that you are living a supernatural lifestyle. I think you may be here because you realize left to yourself, you're in trouble. I think you may be here because you realize you don't have what it takes to be who God's created you to be. You have to lean on Him and learn from Him and be equipped by Him. And that's the truth. It's true for pastor and the person in the pew equally. And all of us have, I mean, almost everything we do now in the whole world is on YouTube. But all of us have those moments that you wouldn't want to be on YouTube. When you're talking to your sweet honey and what you're saying's not so sweet. Or when the bad version of you shows up. This is the carnal part. You see, when we get saved, the Bible says that this all operates by faith. We believe what God says in His book. Whether we want to do it or not, we choose to do it, knowing that the doing of it brings about a supernatural result in our life. And so, but there are moments when, you know what, Lord, I just really don't want to do that. Or maybe we're not even that spiritual. It's like, I'm just not going to do that. And we just leave the Lord out. And we do our own thing. And then we're in trouble. And we've probably all got stories to tell. That's not the good life. Certainly not the God life. But the carnal man finds himself in that place. I'm going to let this guy, Mr. Beef and Buffed Up guy, his problem is anger and impatience. And it shows up in public sometimes, like when he carries his buddy to the restaurant and he gets aggravated at him, lets him have it. Or maybe when the waiter's just trying to be a good server and this guy's just all upset because his food's not arrived to the table yet. And the last thing he's doing is exhibiting the character of Jesus Christ. And of course, none of us would ever do anything like that in a restaurant. Although I have had servers tell me in the past that work in restaurants that the worst crowd to deal with is the bunch that comes to the restaurant on church, after church on Sunday. I see some of you have been the waiter and the waitress, huh? That ought not to be. I mean, we have to learn to die to ourselves so that we can come alive to God. The resurrection power of Jesus is available for the here and now in our moments. Many of you have experienced... Jamie! It's real, isn't it, brother? So good to have you in the service today, brother. He had a battle this week. Many of you have been there, haven't you? Where you needed the power of God to touch you. The power of God to be with you. But the carnal man has memory problems. We forget whose we are. We forget what He's given us, and we revert to that old person. And usually it's anchored and rooted in things like generational patterns of behavior in our family lines, you know, that we haven't yet conquered. Or sometimes events we've gone through in our life, or the way we've been treated in our life, some abuse maybe. Maybe you've been exposed to that. And it's like you just have a hard time untethering yourself. Maybe it's some past failure, some past bondage, some past addiction, an area of weakness. And it's like you've got victory in so many areas of your life. And when people are watching you in those areas, you're shining bright for Jesus. But the devil knows when he brings this area up, you tend to falter. And most of us have those kind of areas. That's the reason we've got to stay in the Word. We've got to be in an atmosphere of worship where we're receiving, where we're growing in Christ. The Holy Spirit bears witness with you when you hear what's true. But the carnal man, we tend to tune the Lord out and we do our own thing, and it ends up hurting us and hurting people we love. This is the struggling with the flesh, carnal believer. And this struggle here is like, you know, it's like the Lord and the devil, the angels of God and the angels of the devil are being pulled in two different directions. That's the sway of the world. And John writes about it and says, all that's in the world is the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. Let me tell you what the devil will do. He'll highlight and magnify your successes, work the pump, inflate you with pride. And then he'll come along with his pitchfork and bust your bubble, and you topple, you tumble in failure, and now you're a mess, you're in a heap. And then he comes and stands over you and begins to condemn you and accuse you. Doesn't matter to him. He'll go either route with you. But the struggle is staying in line with Jesus and trying to obey God when you don't want to and when it doesn't feel right, because it's not about feelings. It's about faith. Sometimes I've just had to get out and, you know, do a prayer session and just preach to Eddie, I will to will the will of God. I will to will the will of God. I will to will the will of God. I'm going to do the will of God. I'm going to do the will of God. Next thing I know, I'll be in a praise section and I'll get all freed up. Now I'm ready to take on the world. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight, not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. The Blackwood Brothers used to sing about that years ago. You can Google Blackwood Brothers, those of you who are younger. There's a struggle. You may have heard it described this way. The guy's like, there's two dogs inside of me and they're fighting. Well, which one wins? He said, the one I feed the most. The one I feed the most. You've got to stay in the Word. I've been at this 41 years and I have spent tens of thousands of hours studying and reading the Word. But guess what? If I push my Bible aside, you know how long it would take for me to start getting separated and untethered? Not as long as you'd think. You've got to have your manna every day. It's for every day. Build yourself up praying in the Spirit. Stay in the Word. Because it is a spiritual warfare and there's a struggle. And your flesh is on the devil's side. You can spruce it up, you can clean it up, but the Bible says when you got saved, that old man died. And it's just like looking at a coffin and seeing a corpse. That's the way we're seeing our mind. That old man is now dead, and now Christ, through the resurrection power of Jesus, I am made alive to God. And there's just sometimes that old man, he wants to come crawling up out of that grave, and you have to just preach to yourself, say, I have the mind of Christ. I have the Spirit of God dwelling in me that raised Jesus from the dead. Get back in there, old man. You're dead. I reckon myself to be dead indeed unto sin and alive to God. The Spirit of God dwells in me. I am the head. I am not the tail. I am above. I am not below. I was blessed when I came in here. I'll be blessed when I go out of here. I am surrounded by the angels of the Lord. Greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. world, I'm not going to back down. The Lord is my strength. He is my light. He is my salvation. And I have not been given that spirit of fear. I've got love. I've got power. I've got a sound mind. I'm going forth to conquer. That's who you are in Christ. So there's a struggle, but you got to feed yourself. You got to stay in the Word. You got to pray. Well, I don't really want to do all that. Well, you and that old dead man are going to hang out a lot together, if that be the case. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. But you know when something's missing. The day you got saved, the Holy Spirit, because the gospel was preached or read, however you were exposed to the gospel, the Spirit of God took that word and began to move inside of you and move on you. And you knew, even though it's like you're on the other side of the door, you knew who was knocking on that door. That's the voice you'd been waiting your whole life to hear. Something's behind that door that I know I was made for. Everything in you was rising up toward that. That's the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. And when you opened the door and let Jesus in, then resurrection life was granted you. You were born into the family of God, adopted into the family of God, sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. You are in, you're saved, you're born again, as Pastor Doc preached recently, twice born. You know when something's missing. And when you're a believer, it's even more pronounced. It's like my previous pastor, Dr. Adrian Rogers, he said a sinner can leap into sin and he loves it. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. But a saint lapses into sin and loathes it. You can't enjoy it the same anymore. I can tell you that by testimony. You'll be miserable because you were made for the will of God. When God was dealing with me about getting right with Him as a teenager, I was saved at the age of 10. But when my teenage years, you wouldn't have probably flagged me too much for being a big Jesus guy. Although, because of the church I was raised in, I went to the altar. Whenever we had an evangelist come to school, I'd get saved every time. But it's just like, I wasn't getting traction. But when God started dealing with me, I got where I was just sick every day. I was running. I had to be in the woods hunting or at the pond fishing. If I wasn't doing one of those two things, I was just miserable. But then a Sunday night came in the spring of 1983. And it's just like, I'm tired. It's hard to kick against the pricks. You're trying to kick and all you're doing is hurting yourself. And I got in that altar and I told the Lord, Lord, I'm tired of living for Eddie. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I just can't live this way anymore. And when I got up, I knew what I was called to do with my life. And I've been heading in that direction since that day. I will say I had some pretty big zigzags at different times. But still trying to head that way. Because I was made for this. And there's a knowing that you have something's missing. You see, that brings us quickly, the saved spiritual man. Notice, Christ is enthroned. And notice how everything in that person's life is ordered around Christ. Christ is the center. This is the saved spiritual man, the Holy Spirit led and empowered Jesus man, in the Word, on his knees in prayer, living for the King. This is who we all aspire to be. And this life, even when you live a long life, it's just a vapor, James says. You were made for this Jesus life. You were. You're going to be fruitful, fulfilled, have a deep sense of purpose and meaning when things are right with you and the Lord Jesus. But there's coming a time, every one of us would be like this young man who grows up, he's lost his muscles for the most part, he's looking out over the ocean now, What lives on when this is gone? All this that the world tells us we're to live for, all of this stuff that's just so important, it's gonna go away. But he who does the will of God abides forever. And the Word of God abides forever. And you've been given the gift of eternal life if you know Jesus. Every person in this room this morning is one of these three men. The natural man, unsaved. The saved man who's carnal. Or that spiritual man. The saved spiritual man. And by the way, the reason I put it, the saved spiritual man, because in our culture today, it's just cool as cucumbers to be spiritual. Spiritual is not a problem. It's just like, you got this big basket called spiritual, and if it's spiritual, it goes in the basket. And as long as you have an attitude that anything in the basket's just fine, then you're just fine. That's the world's. All roads of religion lead to God. And so you got New Age in the basket, ain't got anything to do with Jesus. You know, listen, the Holy Spirit will not give amen to the New Age. Buddha's in the basket. The Holy Spirit will not amen Buddha. Hare Krishna's in there. The Holy Spirit will not amen him. All the different cults, the Wiccans are in there. The Holy Spirit will not amen that. But if you want to get in trouble with the spirit of the world, then through the Holy Spirit, just begin to live and talk about Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And then you'll find out that that's not cool with the spirit of the world. Because there's a conglomeration of spirituality today that lets anything and everything go. And how dare someone be critical or judgmental that something's right or wrong? You have the right to do wrong. God made you that way. You're free to do wrong. But you're also accountable for the wrong you've done. And to be a saved spiritual person that the Bible's talking about is you have been born again by the Spirit of God. You have confessed Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. And you are aligning with what the Scripture teaches about living for Jehovah God. But all of us will have to stand before Him. It's really not wrong to say all roads of religion lead to God. No matter what you believe, you're going to end up before God. But when you get there, it's going to be one of two ways. You will either have your name already recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, where you have confessed Jesus as Lord, believed God raised Him from the dead, and the benefits of what Jesus did on the cross, which meant cleansing from sin by His blood. We sang about that this morning. Forgiveness of those sins, reconciled with God, being sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. All of that, that's yours. And you and God are going to be just fine. He's always just fine, but you're going to be just fine because of what Jesus did. Or you'll stand before God having rejected and rebuffed anything to do with Jesus, and then the books will be open, and those books will chronicle how you've lived your life and all the works you've done, and no flesh will ever be justified by works. Works of law, none of them. Only through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. What lives on when this is gone? You do. And it will either be heaven or hell. Yes, I do believe in those two literal places of ongoing existence. One place we were made for. The other was actually prepared for the devil and his angels. But all those that have listened to him and submitted to him will be there with him. Our worship team is coming now. I appreciate your patience this morning. But in order to be faithful to God as a preacher of the gospel right now, I need to press upon you the fact that you're one of those three people that we've talked about today. And if you're not the last one, there's decisions you need to make. So I want to ask you quickly, just bow your head for a moment, just to give people privacy. I want this to be between you and the Lord, but I want to help, okay? If you are here this morning, and there's never been a time in your life when you confess Jesus is Lord of your life, if you've never repented of your sins and believed in Jesus Christ, I encourage you today to do that. The Bible simply says this: if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I encourage you this morning to confess Christ as Lord and believe that God raised Him from the dead. See, the resurrection means that what He did on the cross for you, God accepted that. It's a done deal. And it's yours when you confess Christ. So I want to ask you, I'm not going to come back to where you are and embarrass you in that way, but I do want to pray for those that the Holy Spirit's dealing with right now and lead you in a prayer. If you've never confessed Christ as Lord of your life, and today you want to give your life to Him, I just encourage you right now, just between you and the Lord, just say, Lord Jesus, I believe You died on the cross for my sins. Just tell Him that. I confess You now as Lord of my life. I believe with my heart that God really did raise You from the dead. So You're the living Lord, and I'm giving my life to You. I'm going to serve You. I confess You as Lord. I give You my life today. Save me, Lord Jesus. Just ask Him right now. Say, save me, Lord Jesus. I give my life to You. I believe in You. And while every head is bowed and eyes closed right now, if you just prayed that prayer, again, I'm not going to come back to where you are, but I do want to help seal this in prayer. Would you just lift up your hand? Let me see you. Anyone that prayed that prayer across the room, just hold it up for a moment until I acknowledge you. Anyone? God bless you. Is there anyone else? Anyone else? Now, while you continue with your heads bowed, I see your hand. God bless you. God bless you, ma'am. Anyone else? Thank you for your honesty. Now, Father, I pray for these lifted hands that You would just bear witness with their hearts, Lord, that they've given their lives to You. I pray that You'd bless them today. And now for those of you that maybe you tend to drift back and forth, and you know you really need to recommit your life today. Like, fess up. Lord, I haven't been living for You. I've just kind of been wandering. I've been wayward, and I'm not where I need to be. And today I want to recommit myself. That you know you're saved already, but you want to recommit yourself to Christ. You want to, like, drive a stake in the ground, like a point of a new beginning. Today, I'm going to begin to walk with You and serve You, Lord Jesus. Cleanse me from my waywardness, from my sin. But just make that your prayer right now, to say, dear Lord Jesus, I recommit myself to You today. I turn from my waywardness. I confess that I haven't been living for You as I ought, and I just ask You to cleanse me right now. I recommit my life to You. In Jesus' name. Now, while your heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, just hold up your hand quickly. Thank you, thank you. Are there others? Yes, thank you. Many hands. Are there others? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Father, I pray for those whose hands that are lifted right now, that You would just bless and encourage them today. I thank You for these decisions made by faith. I thank You that You respond to faith, Lord. And I pray that You would bless these that You're dealing with right now, that You would seal these decisions in their heart. And I pray this in Jesus' name. In just a moment, I'm going to ask everyone to stand. And when you stand, our prayer team members at that moment are going to come quickly to the front. And if you have need of prayer in any way, maybe you want to follow up on a decision you just made, I encourage you, you've got a card there in the back of the seat. If you made that commitment to Christ, please fill that out and let us know you did. Or maybe you haven't followed the Lord and been baptized. You need to be. He commanded it. Or you want to become a part of this fellowship, just fill that card out, and you can put it in one of these offering boxes when you go out today, or you can bring it to the front and share that with one of our prayer team members. But in the name of Jesus, would you just stand now as they come forward? They're going to be here to pray for you. Any of you who have prayer needs, just come on up right now. They will begin praying for you. In a few moments, I'm going to dismiss you, but we want to have a time to connect with you and pray for those of you who have need of prayer. Just come on up right now. They are here, and they are here to pray for you. Our worship team is going to begin to worship, and we invite you to come. Get it right. Get things in alignment. Are there others? Just step out from where you are. God is so good. He loves you so very much. Are there others who need to come? You come.
I want to sit.
We're just going
to
linger here at the front. We'll be available to pray with you. Have a wonderful day in Jesus. May the grace of God be strong upon you. The Spirit of God be strong within you. May His joy bubble over in your life. May your cups overflow. May your light shine for Him. Now let's go out and change this world. Be a blessing to someone. Thank you for joining us today. Let's give the Lord a hand. This altar's open. You come if you need prayer. God bless you. Just come on up.